in our sense, this is an overall, not getting the job done in the fourth quarter. And that's kind of where we've left it at.
VR, electric cars, and smart home products will be abundant at CES 2016 this year.
Republicans seem to have a particular fixation on blaming President Obama and me for everything that happens in the world.
Get safe. Stay dry. Don't drive in roads that got water on them. But get out, get safe, and then we'll help you get back in when we can.
This is WGN Radio's daily conversation about
the life of business and the business of life.
It's The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich.
Good morning, everyone. It's 5:08, and today is Monday. It is January 4th, 2016. Thanks a lot for joining us. Happy New Year to all of you. And thanks for joining us as we begin a journey here on WGN Radio with our new show, The Opening Bell. Glad to have you along. If you are an investor, the new year is starting off on a very rocky foot overseas overnight. The Wall Street, the markets, tanked. In China, some of the trading actually had to be halted in China because of the steep drop. European stocks also fell. Overseas, Asian markets, some of them lost at least 5% of their value, and more than 500-point drop. We'll keep you updated on those as we move through the morning as we check the markets regularly for you here on The Opening Bell. Lots of stuff to talk about. The Dow futures this morning are down as well, so it doesn't look good for Wall Street either, at least as the early going goes. Dow futures off 265 points. The Nasdaq futures off about 75 points. It has not been a good couple of months for the advertising industry, specifically those that have some high-profile spokespeople. We had Jared Fogle with Subway. Bill Cosby is the latest. He was brought up on charges over the holiday break, if you haven't been paying attention. And it brings to mind what these advertising companies and these big companies go through when their spokesperson gets in trouble. And the business of marketing is what we lead off with on The Opening Bell today, specifically the celebrities who are spokespeople for products who've been charged or arrested or done God knows what. Until about 5 years ago, Bill Cosby was the celebrity face of Jell-O, pudding pops, to be specific. You probably are hearing the commercial in your head right now. Chicago Tribune's Phil Rosenthal's been writing about the perils of employing advertising spokespeople in the wake of Cosby and Jared Fogle with Subway. And Phil joins us on our first show today. Phil, what are these companies going through as they deal with these messes?
Well, those are the really bad cases. The situation, frankly, is that if you hire a human being, you run the risk of that human being doing things that you may not be pleased with, that you may not want associated with your product. I mean, we've even seen it with people who aren't the faces of a product. Remember when Gilbert Gottfried got in trouble for some things he tweeted? He was the voice of the Aflac duck. They recast the voice of the Aflac duck. But the Fogle case and the Cosby case, because Cosby did a lot of products, part of it has to do with how effective they were as spokespeople, that you saw them and they became the face of the product. There are other people who did ads for these companies, but those are the ones that stick in your mind, and they still stick in your mind long after they've done the ads, which is why when they get into trouble, it's a problem, and why a lot of companies would prefer to have either a whole bunch of different people fronting their products, or a cartoon character, or just a character like Flo from Progressive.
You write in your column, and it's sort of right on the money. People can hardly remember their passwords, but you mentioned pudding, Jell-O pudding, and Cosby's face comes right into their minds.
And they don't even make pudding pops anymore. I mean, you can buy the kits to make them yourself, but it's been many years since Jell-O sold the name rights to Popsicle, and Popsicle began phasing them out in about 2011. So it's been a long time since we've, and yet, whenever anybody thinks of a Bill Cosby imitation, they talk about the Jell-O and the Jell-O pudding pops, it's a go-to association, and it's sort of like that. It's like those songs. Pop songs from your youth you still know all the words to, or if you're of a certain age, Schoolhouse Rock, and you can recite whole things about nouns and the Constitution. Things get in your head and they can't get out, and that effective advertising, that's what it does,
Yeah, and Jell-O is so in my head that I completely forgot about some of the other things that he endorsed. There's a long list of them, and he was also the voice of cartoon characters. How is all of that going to be affected?
Well, I think, you know, look, some of it's going away. I mean, you don't see a lot of the people that had rights to the Cosby Show pulled them off the air. I think, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, when it's fresh in your mind, it's very hard to get it out of your head. We'll see how long the shadow is. I think with the ads, some of it's going to last a while. Now, does it get in the way of you buying a Coca-Cola knowing that he did ads for Coca-Cola? Probably not, you know. And again, that's a product they did a lot of. The last Coca-Cola ads he did were for New Coke, which gives you an idea just how long ago it is. But still, if you were around when that campaign ran, it's still very fresh in your mind. You still can picture him, you know. And that's, again, it's one of those things. On the other hand, you know, you're not going to see Snap, Crackle, and Pop get in trouble with the law. You know, you're not going to see the Keebler Elves brought up on paternity charges. So you know, this is part of the attraction of going away from the specific. You know,
never say never, Phil. You never know about those others.
Well, I don't want to. What have you heard something?
Yeah, no. But you mentioned earlier his popularity, and you know there are actually people who put numbers on this. If you could give us an idea of like where he ranked before all of this happened, and where he would rank now.
Well, let's say there's an outfit associated with the Omnicom group, and it was they're called the marketing arm, and at one point they had him as high as in the top five in terms of both what people saw in him as credibility and what they saw as sort of this consumers said, yeah, he's a good spokesperson. He fell below 2,500 in a very short space of time. And what's interesting is, you know, these charges were not entirely, I mean, the charges are new, but there have always been these sort of allegations on the surface. They never had traction. And then when they did, boy, it hit like a landslide.
Is the danger for one of these companies not reacting quickly enough when something like this comes into the news? Is that they're out?
Well, I think with Subway, Jell-O hasn't used them for years. So, I mean, you know, they're just stuck with the fact that they had very effective ads. With Subway, there were times they tried to get away from him. There were times when they tried to discontinue him well before there was a problem, or at least public sense of a problem. They kept coming back to him because he was really he sold sandwiches. And, you know, that's kind of the name of the game. The truth is, if you don't stick with someone quite so long, and you don't get the same notes all the time, and you mix things up, you're less vulnerable to any one thing coming back to haunt you. In this case, yeah, maybe they stuck with him a long time, but the truth is, these guys were successful. I mean, I don't know about you. I still think, when I think of O.J. Simpson or I think of Hertz, I think of the other. You know, I still see the running through the airport. Does it change my rental car plans? No, I tend to rent based on price. But again, brand awareness being what it is, you know, what builds it can take it down too. I just don't know. I don't know, for example, that the consumer behavior changes because of this. I just think it's one of those things there's sort of an ooh factor to it.
You know, as somebody who likes to watch commercials, especially the really good ones, you know, at the Super Bowl especially, is there sort of a possibility that we might be seeing less creative, less of those iconic commercials because of some of this? You mentioned earlier the flow from the insurance company and the Rice Krispie guys. But, I mean, seriously, do we have a possibility of not seeing these companies take these chances on celebrities?
Well, I don't know. I mean, celebrities are always a risk because celebrities in and of themselves tend to be polarizing. What made Cosby so different is that he was popular with so many groups of people that you wouldn't, you know, it was tough to bring people together that way. There are very few people of that level. I mean, I can think of a few, like a Tom Hanks, if he were to do ads. He doesn't, for the most part. You'll occasionally hear him in a PSA or something. But, I mean, there are very few people who cross those lines. And when they do, they tend to have, as I say, short runs on their ads because they want to limit the exposure. They don't want to be associated every time they come on screen with whatever product may come along with them. I think, you know, in terms of, you know, I mentioned Flo, you know, Progressive has a bunch of different ads. Geico, which has a bunch of different ads. Allstate has a bunch of different ads. I mean, different themes of their ads. There's the, you know, take Allstate. You've got Mayhem. You've got the ones with Dennis Haysbert, who played president on 24, you know, with the deep voice and all that. And that's sort of how they diffuse it. I don't think it necessarily changes the creativity in the at the Super Bowl. I do think it probably gives pause when thinking long term in terms of campaigns. Okay, what are we going to lean on? What are we going to go with? And you want to vet your people, and you can't just vet them once. You got to keep an eye on them. If you're Nike and you've got the Tiger Woods brand, you got to be mindful that it could all go away very quickly, or at least go downhill very quickly. Either he did both. His reputation went down the drain, and so did his golf game, it seems. These are all things you got to be concerned with. On the other hand, if they sell in the short term and you want to sell in the short term, it's sort of hard to resist.
We're talking with Phil Rosenthal of the Chicago Tribune about how these spokespeople are giving headaches, really, to the advertisers who hire them, namely Bill Cosby, the latest, and others. We're going to continue our conversation with Phil after we take a break for traffic. First, I want to let you know that overseas markets tanked overnight. The Nikkei off about 583 points. 18,451 was the close there. Everyone in the world markets down. 587, the Hang Seng, the Shanghai off 243. More on the markets as we move through the opening bell, but right now let's take a break for traffic.
You're listening to the opening bell on 720 WGN.
Welcome back. It's 523, and it's time to check in with Wall Street Now.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now. Shanghai stock index plunged nearly 7% this morning, sparking a halt in trading of Chinese shares. Weak manufacturing data and Middle East tensions weighed on Asian and European markets. Futures in this country have Wall Street opening less than 2% lower. On this first trading day of the new year, the Commerce Department releases its report on construction spending for November. Tomorrow, automakers tell us how many vehicles they sold last month. For the eighth year in a row, severe thunderstorms and tornadoes cost Americans and their insurance companies $10 billion in 2015. The year-end twisters in Texas will push the total over the top. The storm-related losses overall were relatively low because of the quiet hurricane season last year. A sign of things to come in the U.S., Apple has raised the price of its smartphones and iPads in Germany after a deal was reached between the tech industry and content producers. For years, musicians and filmmakers have complained that they weren't being compensated for downloaded content. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
524 on the opening bell. I'm Steve Krasanich. Good morning again. And we have been talking with Phil Rosenthal of the Chicago Tribune about the dangers and perils of employing spokespeople to hawk ads, hawk products in the wake of Cosby and Jared Fogle. And Phil is back with us. Phil, for not for everybody, this is a bad thing. I mean, take, for instance, Oprah Winfrey. That's going to be a gold mine for Weight Watchers, right?
Absolutely. And Oprah has her own, has her own equity stake in the company that came with those ad deals. I mean, she didn't just buy in as a spokesperson. She bought in and the program, for that matter. She bought into the company. So it's a pretty, that's a whole other level. And again, when you think about squeaky clean, there is squeaky clean and then there is really squeaky clean. There's not a lot we don't think we know about Oprah. If it turns out there is, then that's a whole different thing. But I don't think you're going to find that. In this case, it's a golden combination, sort of that perfect storm of the right spokesperson, the right, situation, problem you're trying to solve, the right solution. Weight Watchers has had a terrible time of late because when they were sort of this go-to diet plan and fitness and all this sort of thing, but between the apps and the Fitbits and this sort of thing, they can do a lot of those things that Weight Watchers did or at least fostered in its clients. They've lost a lot of ground. This buys them a chance to get back in the game. It won't matter if they don't get better technology, if they don't get into these other areas that other people are sort of, taking them out with. So I think it's an interesting situation and it's going to bear watching. I don't think there's much reason to expect that, there's going to be a backlash on her or some great revelation. But at the same time, I don't, you never know. But it's her money as much as anybody's. It really is. In some ways, it's not her company, but it's a, she's got a big, investment in it. So I think, it's a little different again.
The price after the Weight Watchers announcement with Oprah, their shares almost doubled. And when she had
that also speaks to how poorly the shares were.
Right. I mean, they were almost right. They were in bankruptcy. If I'm not getting close to bankruptcy, but correct.
Yeah. No, it's true.
You know, and so when you think back to her Oprah show, and she would have a book on, and it would shoot to the top of the bestseller list. Does she still have that gravitas?
Well, we're going to find out, and we're going to find out with this product. I think she has. You know, look, she has a core audience. I think even just getting her out on ads on network television will do. We'll find out where she is. You know, she does pretty well on cable, but cable's not the world. I think her core. I think her core followers are core followers, and they still listen to her. Diet plans, she hasn't had a tremendous success with over the long run, but maybe that, again, maybe you can turn that into a selling point. We're going to find out. You know, I always thought, people always said about Oprah, oh, no, she was great. She got people to read Faulkner. She didn't really get people to read Faulkner. We don't know that. I would say she got people to buy Faulkner. People like to own Faulkner, but I'm not sure anybody actually finished those books. Faulkner's a tough sell. Weight Watchers is probably easier.
Do we in Chicago like Weight Watchers because she's moved out of Chicago?
I think Chicago is. I'd like to think Chicago is more intelligent than that. That they don't see. You know, people come, people go. You know, I don't know. I think people took it as a point of pride that she lived here, produced her show here. But that when that show went away, I think, you know, and she's made it pretty clear her life has moved on. I think Chicago has probably moved on too. But we'll see. You know, we'll see if we're a pocket of particular support for her. It's possible. I just think it's been a while now. You know. And I think I'd like to think that, you know, Chicago has moved on, that, you know, that she's not the 85 Bears, you know.
Phil Rosenthal of the Chicago Tribune, thanks for being one of our inaugural guests here on the Opening Bell, and Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year and best of luck with the new show.
All right, Phil Rosenthal of the Chicago Tribune. And, you know, we had a list of the top 10 big celebrity perils, the celebs who've sort of had to be taken off the air. See how many you can remember. Let's see, there was the dude, the Dale guy, got arrested for pot. Of course, there was Lance Armstrong, O.J. Simpson back in the day. Just so many of them that it's really hard to keep count. But there's a cool online, we'll maybe post it on our blog later, of the top 10 celebrity misfires of all time. Good stuff. This is the Opening Bell on WGN. The market's tanking overnight overseas, but the futures are looking up, at least for gold, up about 1 point, actually about 13 points, the futures. Corn futures are down. Crude oil futures are up. We'll keep following the markets throughout the morning, and we'll be back with news in a minute.
But, you know, a flood in the winter, which is obviously very rare, very different than a summer flood when it's 80 degrees outside.
You know, we expect floods, but you never expect your house to float away.
We went through a lot, which are pretty good building blocks or foundations to move forward.
I think, you know, we have enormous problems facing this country, and I think we got more things to worry about than Bill Clinton's sexual life.
This is the Opening Bell on WGN. It's 5:36. Good morning. Lots of news happening today. We'll keep you up to date throughout the morning here on WGN. Flooding, of course, the big story in Illinois. My family in southern Illinois, they say they've gotten almost 7 inches of rain in the last week or so. So it's the rain is stopped, but the flooding problems continue, and we'll have more on that throughout the day. The new year is upon us. People are making all kinds of resolutions to get healthy, to stop smoking, to clean up their house, to throw out old garbage. Have you made a resolution, though, to back up your life, back up your data? We're joined by Ted Rall, a cartoonist, political and tech writer, and Ted has been kind enough to join us this morning very early. Ted, thanks for being with us.
Good morning.
This is something that a lot of people probably aren't thinking about, backing up their data, backing up their life. What are the perils here?
Well, even if you do a good job of this, which the vast majority of people don't, the fact is that we're in grave danger of losing not just our personal lives, but even our culture to digitization. You know, if you think about file storage methods, and data storage methods, they keep changing at a faster and faster rate. For about 500 years, paper was the dominant form of storage in the Western world, and has been, and of course still is. But you get to a point, for example, with recorded music. We went to wax cylinders about 100 years ago. Then to acetate records. There were 78s that became 33s that became CDs that are now MP3s, and all of these forms have one thing in common: they're becoming more and more portable. But they're also subject to what is called digital drop-off. If you think about some old form of data, like say a book, even if the book was damaged by water, you can still read it. You can dry it out. Or even if the pages get singed in a fire, you can still read parts of it. There's still parts of it left. But if you think about a digital data file, for example, a digital movie, that's a lot of data. If one bit of it is wrong, then the entire thing, it doesn't exist anymore. It's lost. And there's a term for that in tech is called digital rot and digital drop-off. In other words, if you're old enough to remember the old rabbit ears TV, you'd be able to watch a show that had crummy reception. Not anymore. Now you've got either perfect reception on digital or you've got no reception at all. So what's the perils? We are living in an era where we're being asked to store more and more and more of our data. And in some ways, it's harder and harder to get rid of some forms of data, but it's getting easier and easier to lose the other forms. And the problem is we're ending up with a lot of trivial data, our selfies, and we're losing really important data, for example, movies and books and works of great music. And so let me sort of explain how that works. If you have an iPhone, for example, and you have a bunch of photos on it and you need to manage it, you'll probably find that the default is set for more and more file storage. So you take lots of pictures, and you still say you want to erase them. You erase them, but they're still in the cloud. And then they're also in a file on an iPhone. Typically, it's set for 30 days in a place called recently deleted. So you really, to delete something, you have to delete it out of three places, the cloud and your phone and also the backup file. So you'll notice people listening who have a digital device, like an iPad or an iPhone, are probably familiar with what I'm about to say. They have thousands of photos that they probably are never going to look at or use again, the vast majority of it. They probably have a bunch of videos of their kids or cousins or nephews doing cute things that, again, they're probably never going to watch. And we're just talking about just massive amounts of data. There's even a concern that at some point the world will run out of the possibility of storing all of this data. But then On the downside, think about when you made the move from your local video store to, say, Netflix or Hulu. How many times when you have a particular movie in mind when you want to watch it, is it actually there? Probably very rarely. If you have a specific film that you want to watch and it's more than a year or two old, the odds are you're not going to be able to find it on any streaming service. And what's happening is a process that we've seen before, but it's greatly accelerated, which is that culture gets lost with each transition. So, if you think about old jazz albums from the 20s, for example, a lot of those, the vast majority of them, never made it from 78 to 33, and they were lost forever and ever. So there are fetishists who collect these things and find them. But for the most part, they're gone.
Yeah. And just to interrupt there, because somebody who is I'm somebody who's into this and have a history. I love history and I love going back and listening. Even here in radio, we've lost some of our early recordings because nobody thought to save them or they were on a format that you mentioned is no longer usable. And for historians, you in your blog, you talk about Doris Kearns Goodwin and how when she wrote her book about Abraham Lincoln, she was able to go and look at notes and written things. Even that stuff is disappearing, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the part that's really depressing. I was a history major myself. And I did work in the National Archives and at the FDR Presidential Library in New York and other places. And It occurs to me that a lot of stuff that is accessible to historians from older presidencies and other historical events are now gone and missing forever. I mean, right now, the vast majority, for example, in the Obama administration and other government agencies, the vast majority of communications take place by email, as we know famously from Hillary Clinton recently. And these communications, including text messages, will be lost forever because they won't be readable in the future. These formats keep changing so quickly. And if you think about just, you know, even within, if you're not that old, you can remember older forms of data storage. A lot of people probably still have old zip disks or even floppies with stuff on it that they always meant to transfer over to a more up-to-date format. But the fact is, people are busy. They don't get around to it. It turns out to be harder than you think. If you have old home movies, for example, transferring those to a contemporary digital format can be expensive and difficult, and it doesn't work out very well.
And time-consuming, too. Ted, listen, we're running out of time. We just have about a minute, but if you could give our listeners the best advice for archiving not only just their selfies, but other stuff, too, because if you've ever had a computer crash and lost everything, it's a nightmare. What is your best advice for people?
Yeah, redundancy is the best answer. So, in other words, have multiple backup forms for yourself. The cloud is good. These days, it's what we have. You obviously can burn backup CDs and DVDs, although those formats are disappearing as well. And the one thing nobody thinks about is disseminating them to other people. If other members of your family have the same photos or other important stuff that you want to keep, there's a chance, you know, that if there's a fire at your house, they'll still have it. So get it out there and spread it around. I think that's the best thing you can do.
All right, Ted Rall, thanks for being with us on The Opening Bell, a cartoonist, political, and tech writer. And this is just amazing that people don't back up their information, but also that we're losing a lot of this information. You can find Ted online. He runs a blog, RALL.com. And just this one factoid before we go to break, there are something like 129 million books in the world as of 2010. It's probably more now. But so there's a lot of that's books. That's not all the movies and music. Lots of data out there. This is The Opening Bell. Markets overseas tanked. So we will have the full wrap-up for you coming up. Right now, let's take a break for traffic. Here's Mary Vandeveld.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
It's 549, and welcome back. Thanks again for joining us today. Happy New Year, by the way, if you're just waking up. Today in history, 1965, President Lyndon Johnson delivered his State of the Union address. 1943, Soviet dictator Joseph Stalin made the cover of Time as the magazine's 1942 Man of the Year. Just some of the stuff happening today. Let's find out some of the other birthdays today with Bob
Kessler. Celebrity chef Graham Elliott's leaving the TV show MasterChef, but he still wants to help people become one. He leads our birthday roundup today. Fox last month announced Elliott's departure as a judge on the show once this season runs out. But Elliott will stay busy. He has his bistro on Randolph Street in Chicago and his new book, Cooking Like a Master Chef, which he talked about on the YouTube series Kitchen Chat.
It's my first ever cookbook. It's, 20 years in the making, if you will. And it's 100 recipes to make every day extraordinary. That's the whole tagline. So food that you know but redone. My version of a Caesar, a pot roast, stroganoff, things like that.
Elliott's 39 today. Former REM lead singer Michael Stipe had been out of the public eye for a while, until last fall when Donald Trump's use of this REM song at campaign events. Stipe tweeted his strong disapproval, calling Trump's quest for the White House a moronic charade of a campaign. Michael Stipe's 56 today.
Well, I was born a coal miner's daughter.
And that's country legend Patti Loveless singing the tune made famous by her distant cousin Loretta Lynn. It's from last fall's Austin City Limits Hall of Fame show. Loveless is 59 today, and those are the birthdays in arts and entertainment for Monday, January 4th, 2016. I'm Bob Kessler from Ribbit Radio and WGN.
551 on The Opening Bell, just a recap of some of the markets overseas last night. Big trouble on the Nikkei, the Hang Seng, the Shanghai, all of the Asian markets lost between 2 and 7% of their value. The biggest loser was the Hang Seng, losing 587 points overnight. The Nikkei fell 583 as well. The futures, the Dow futures are down almost 321 points. So it'll be interesting to see how Wall Street opens today. Corn futures are down as well. Gold futures are up by about 14 points. Crude oil futures unchanged. Silver unchanged as well. Some of the other stories we'll be watching for you in the business department today. Apple has raised the prices of its handheld devices in Germany following a deal between the tech industry and content producers that will benefit musicians, actors, and pornographic filmmakers. The California-based company confirmed in a statement to the Associated Press that the price increase affecting iPhones and iPads is linked to that new copyright levy. Other news overseas, the civil trial starting this month in New York City will test the legal boundaries of hundreds of claims remaining against General Motors over faulty ignition switches. The case involves an Oklahoma crash that injured the driver. It's the first of six bellwether trials scheduled over the next year or so to narrow legal issues in lawsuits affecting more than 1,000 people. A newspaper reports that the U.S. Forest Service has started environmental review of Nestle Waters' North American bottling operation in the San Bernardino National Forest. Nestle was sued in October by environmental and public interest groups who allege the Swiss-based company is operating its Strawberry Canyon facility on a permit that expired back in 1988. The group say the drought in California combined with the bottling operation is affecting area wildlife. The Consumer Electronics Show is just around the corner.
From ABC News Tech Trends, I'm Alex Stone. The new year means CES, the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas. What's big this year? VR, electric cars, and smart home products will be abundant at CES 2016 this year. Jim Berry with the Consumer Technology Association, which produces CES, says
it's going to be a big one.
2016 is being called a banner year for virtual reality, or VR as it's known, when consumers will finally be able to own many of the VR headsets that have been in development for quite a while.
Microsoft has its HoloLens. Sony is going to have some virtual reality.
Also being unveiled at CES, new technology for cars. Chevy will show off the full production version of its Bolt electric vehicle at the show. It's a vehicle designed to be at a lower price point, but still perform well up to 200 miles on a charge.
Electric vehicles. We're going to see autonomous vehicles.
Also big smart homes. Everything from smart fire alarms that will alert you on your cell phone to cameras for the front door. With Tech Trends, I'm Alex Stone, ABC News.
It's 5:54 on WGN. We're going to pass the baton off to Steve Cochran momentarily. Stay with us. It's 5:55 on WGN. Good morning, and this is the opening bell. And Steve Cochran, I think, is here somewhere.
I didn't have anything to do with China having the bottom fall out. I want that to be clear. This is your first show, Steve. I had nothing to do with the 7% drop in the Chinese stock market.
Yeah, we're still trying to figure out what happened over there. But if that's any indication of what's going to happen when Wall Street opens today, we're in big trouble.
You know, there's this huge tumult now between Iran and Saudi Arabia. That's not good. The oil prices, unstable at best, not good. The American dollar doing well doesn't necessarily help overseas, right? So all of those things probably combine. But we'll have brilliant analysts, Steve, all day long who will tell us what we're thinking.
Well, and where our money should go, too, I suppose. I mean, if we're investing, should we jump out a window or
don't jump. I mean, you can jump where I am. You're on the seventh floor. I'm on the first floor. If you're gonna jump, jump here.
Yeah, I'll come down there and jump.
Yeah,
you know,
a sprained ankle would be fine.
Orion Samuelson always says never panic in the markets. Panic is the worst thing you can do when the markets start tanking.
Yeah, he's got a great theory. He looks at his portfolio, I think it's twice a year. It's like I'd have to check what the dates are, but I think it's like his birthday and then some other random day, and other than that he refuses to look. It's smart.
Yeah, yeah, because you just drive yourself crazy. It's like if you're trying to lose weight and you step on the scale every day.
Not good.
It's not going to work. So how did I do? What do you think?
Nice start, buddy. Opening bell. I like it. And we're very glad you're here. After all those years of BBM, thank God you came to your senses and came over here.
Well, I'm glad you guys have me. And you've been very kind, too, and welcome me. So I'm looking forward to a long run together.
Yeah, no, it's good. And it's a very good thing to be able to get up at 5 o'clock and hear some business conversation and do all of that. And of course, your friend Andrea Darlis, regularly at your disposal, who did a great job of that 5 o'clock hour. And she is going to be in and out of the business hour at different times. Of course, she's going to handle the big story here, and you're going to do the news for me.
Yeah, so we'll look forward to it, and we'll keep you posted with all the stuff going on in the world. Steve Cochran's coming up right here on WGN. Thanks for listening to the first opening bell. I'm Steve Krasanich.